Welcome to Wallowing in the Shallows, the podcast that skirts the perilous drop-off of a deep dive into television and movies. We are academic nerds aspiring to become TV and movie geeks. There are no spoiler guards in the shallows, so listen at your own risk. This week, join us for a wallow in a Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 rewatch. Hey, hello, peeps. Welcome back to Wallowing in the Shallows. This is Tori.
And this is Rebecca. And we are talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You get a real bonanza episode here. Season 2, episodes 9 and 10, What's My Line? Part 1 and 2.
Lots and lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. And just so our regular listeners know, we're probably not going to touch upon every scene. We'll just kind of go from major point to major point that we have written down to keep this episode shorter than 3 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I did throw together a synopsis.
Oh, impressive. Impressive. I didn't even attempt.
I tried to keep it in the spirit of the IMDb.
Excellent.
Shorties. So here we go. In What's My Line Parts 1 and 2, the Scooby Gang suffers through career day at school. Buffy struggles with her fate as the rest of the gang explore their own potential futures. Spike and Drusilla figure out the key to her cure, the blood of her sire, and scheme to complete the ritual to heal her. Wanting to get the Slayer out of the way, Spike hires the Order of Taraka, a secret order of assassins, to take out Buffy. There's a new girl in town who helps Buffy and the Scoobies take down the Order, Spike and Drew. Or do they? That's my synopsis.
Excellent. That was really well done. Thank you.
Super short.
That's perfect. That's the kind of thing we need.
So we could use the time for our tangents and so forth.
Exactly. Which we'll try to keep a little reined in. Not promising complete reined in. Just a little reined in.
Yes. I'm so angry at myself. About an hour ago or so, I was kind of perusing my notes. And I thought of something that was kind of an overarching theme. Mm-hmm. And then got distracted.
Oh, no.
And didn't write it down. I'm like, dang it. It was a good one, too.
Perhaps the discussion. Exactly. Maybe something will prompt you to recall it.
Yeah. I did. Remember last time I had found that Rolling Stone article that ranked all of the Buffy episodes?
Yes.
So this one, part one, episode 9 is ranked 66. And part 2 is ranked 65.
And I'm sorry, how many total?
147.
Okay, so top 50%, maybe top 40%?
Yes.
Okay.
So I do have to say, because I've gone through, I've got a list of all of the rankings now.
Yeah.
And I have some issues.
You have some bones to pick.
Yeah, but theirs is, that criteria they had, and mine is like entertainment, really. How much did I like it? And so some of the ones I liked, they ranked kind of low because they were really thinking about, you know, does it move the plot along and things like that. So,
right. Well, I really enjoyed this pair of episodes, and I don't want you to go through it right now, but I'm wondering how many of the other episodes we've seen mm-hmm. outrank these two mm-hmm. because this was really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can say they are the best two we've seen so mm-hmm. far, mm-hmm. but they're really up there. They're just really up there. And I thought they worked mm-hmm. well together. And I thought we learned a lot. And I'll get into, there were just a lot of things I enjoyed. And I was just into it. I was mm-hmm. into the whole pair of episodes. And I love where we're left at the end. So yeah. Kudos. These were really enjoyable for me.
Yeah. Yeah. There are 4 episodes from season 1 that outrank these 2.
Wow.
I was kind of shocked. So anyway,
that is shocking to me. Maybe when we do our disagree
season roundup, we can go into that a little bit more.
Yeah, we could maybe look at the ranking just for season one and season two, you know, only compare it to what it's competing with so far. I like that.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good.
So Snyder is up Buffy's butt again and is making her take this profession test. So this career, I think it's important to mention the career fair time because the what's my line apparently comes from this.
Yes.
And so our gang is all taking career tests.
Yeah, I remember having to take those. I don't remember what mine said, but
yeah.
And I know students still do it today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a useful, I'm not against it. I think that as long as you don't feel like this is what you must do, it could perhaps make you think of some things that you haven't encountered.
Right. In,
come across, because what do you kind of as a kid want to grow up to be? Something you've seen on TV, something your parents do, your fields may be small. Now, by the time you get in high school, I think you've been exposed to a lot more professions. But come on, there are degrees I didn't even know what they were, when I started college. So I think there's some usefulness as long as it's not total pigeonholing.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that. So, I mean, I'd never heard of anthropology before I started college. So,
yeah,
I know. But this is kind of where we get to one of those overarching themes of these episodes where Buffy is, I don't know, well, like maybe despondent is the right word, but she's very discouraged or conflicted maybe about her fate as the Slayer. And I think maybe by the end of episode 10, she's starting to think perhaps a little differently after she has some interaction with the new girl in town.
Yes.
So,
yes, it's interesting because she's got an out here.
Right.
For the girl who's been complaining about having to lead this dual life.
Right.
She's got a replacement who's hook, line, and sinker right here.
Mm-hmm.
Who maybe just doesn't even question her role.
Right.
But who is doggedly moving forward in the classic Slayer way.
Right.
That Buffy really could have said, okay, yeah, I died for a minute. This is the new girl. I'm out.
Yeah.
And she did not.
Yeah. So clearly, and I think that's, you know, the growth thing by the end, that she really doesn't want to not be the Slayer, but she still wants a little more freedom.
Yep. So I am curious as to what you think is really wrong with Drusilla.
I don't know what's really wrong with her. I mean, she's batshit crazy.
Agreed.
I suppose that's not a very sensitive way to put it, but it's about a television character.
Right.
So,
who's not based on a real person.
Who is, in fact, a vampire. Right. And I don't know if vampires, you know, do maintain some of their human qualities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe she was kind of frail to begin with.
Right.
And so she just kind of, Angel tells us, right, that he made her insane and killed all her family. So she was probably not 100%.
I do think Angel deserved the holy water treatment.
Yes. Although that scene got a little bit sexual.
Well,
Buffy the Vampire Slayer explores BDSM.
Yeah, instead of candle wax, right? We had holy water burning.
Holy water.
Which did not look like, is it first degree burns that are the worst or third degree burns that are the worst? I can't remember the severity levels.
I think it's third degree, isn't it? I don't know. But clearly we know they heal, right? Because when he got burned from the cross, when he kissed Buffy that first time, they would heal from it.
Yeah, and frankly, that burn even looked a little worse than this one.
Yeah, yeah. Third degree burn is the worst because that gets down to the fat layer beneath the skin.
That's horrific. That's really bad. So I think he got first degree burns if they even merit the degree.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that.
Okay, but that's way ahead.
It's way ahead. You know, I was trying to, I have a bunch of scribbles in my notes. I was trying to ship Drusilla and Spike and come up with a, you know, a combo name. So I have like Spikeilla, 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 Drew Spike, Drike.
I kind of like Drike.
Drike?
Yes.
I think in my notes I have Spikeilla a lot, but
Spikeilla is very good too.
Spikeilla and Drike.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it's right at this point. I have it scribbled all over my notes. Did you think, this is a non sequitur, but the vampire Dalton, I was trying to figure out what time period it was from based on his clothing, because he looks like a bank teller, maybe like from the 1800s or something like that, or around the turn of the 18th to 19th century.
Right. This is the guy, the translator guy, right? I hadn't noted his name. I almost wondered if Spike had found a person that had some language experience and he turned him into a vampire just to help him. Could have either been period clothing or an academic.
I'm not sure I've ever seen an academic in a collar and vest like that.
That's fair. I think your hypothesis is more realistic.
Perhaps. Or maybe like a dealer on a riverboat gambling thing.
Well, that's also possible. this is a bit of a tangent, but it was only this episode that I realized that Drusilla is Martin Landau's daughter.
Oh, yeah. Juliet Landau. Yep.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Well, we have another person in this episode that has a quite famous relative, and that's the actress or the actor playing
Kendra.
Yeah. Kendra.
Yes.
Her stepsister is Beyonce.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yes, I noted the same thing because I thought at the very beginning she looked a little like Rihanna, but then later I didn't think she looked like Rihanna. But that's why I looked her up and I was like, well, not Rihanna, but related to Beyonce.
Yeah.
And her dad is an actor as well, but he looked kind of familiar, but I didn't really know him very well. Yes. Yeah. When we come to it, I have it. Oh, daughter of Richard Lawson.
Oh, yeah. That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think you'd recognize him, but it's not like there were roles that I was like, oh, he's famous for that. I just think I've seen him in stuff.
Well, it's not like it's the most unusual name either. Richard Lawson, yeah. But I have IMDb open, so. Oh, gosh, yeah, I know exactly who he is.
Okay.
Poltergeist. I remember him from Poltergeist. I remember him from How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I've seen him in a lot of stuff. He's a great character actor.
Yes, that's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah, in Poltergeist, he plays one of the paranormal research investigators.
Okay.
So.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
Such a good flick. Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad I looked him up. You said that.
Good.
Because I absolutely recognize him.
Good. So we have the vamps hanging out near the crypt because they're trying to get that cross that's so important.
Yes.
And then Angel's waiting for Buffy in her bedroom.
And I have to say, my favorite Angel line is in this scene.
Okay.
And it's,
I lurk.
Because that's how he knew it was career week.
Yes.
I just love
the way David Boreanaz delivers it. He's just kind of like matter of fact. Well, you know, I lurk.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. And I liked Buffy calling him. I mean, when she said, we just can't be kids. And he's like, I'm never going to be a kid. And she said,
okay, then a regular kid and her cradle robbing creature of the night boyfriend.
I thought that was good. I like that. Yes. One. I thought that the description was pretty apt, actually.
Yes.
He could certainly go for older. I don't know why he's going for a high school junior or whatever she is.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
I guess, but not, I don't know. I think there's too much life experience discrepancy here.
Well, I think, even though he's 241 years, right? I think the mythology is that he was 18 when he was turned.
Yeah.
So in human terms, they're really close in age. It's just, of course, he has lived a long, long time.
And that's where my point comes in.
Right.
If he's, even if he's frozen at 18, he's lived. He's lived a lot of experiences. And frankly, 18 when he was a child is different than 18 now.
Oh, for sure.
So I think there's that as well. But anyway, I digress. Mm-hmm. We just need to accept that this is okay.
Yeah, I found this book. It's called, it's a compilation of blog posts that this guy wrote. His name is, what is his name? Mark Field. I think he's down in Oregon, but I don't know for sure. But it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Myth, Metaphor, and Morality. And he had an interesting thing to say about this. A couple things. And number one, even Buffy says it pretty clearly when she says he's the only thing that she kind of understands in her freaky life. And this guy says that Buffy finds comfort in that, right? Because she's not the only freak out there. And so that kind of is one of the things that draws her to Angel. But the thing I thought was really interesting that I did not catch at all, and I'm just going to quote it here. It says, notice how this not so accidentally mirrors Daryl's desire for a mate in some assembly required.
Oh, wow. Yep.
It does. And I was like, I did the same thing. I was like, oh, had not thought about that. It's very deep.
Mm-hmm. At least Angel's doesn't require murdering girls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. Always
Buffy. Buffy is into it. Buffy wants to be a part of this.
Yeah.
But that wasn't what it was being said. It's more the desire to not be alone, the desire to, even though I am different, still be able to have someone to love me.
Yeah. And supposedly that's a human thing. So I did have to wonder in this scene, because Buffy, based on her age, would have been born in 81.
Okay.
The year I graduated high school. And she talks about her Dorothy Hamill phase. And I was like, how would she even know Dorothy Hamill? Because Dorothy Hamill, you know, was in the Olympics in the late 70s and so forth. But I guess she was in the Ice Capades and kept doing like professional ice skating into the 90s. And get this, she did Romeo and Juliet on ice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shakespeare surrounds us.
So it's possible Buffy knew her from Ice Capades.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yes, because I was born in 74.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew who Dorothy Hamill was, but I wouldn't have been obsessed with her. And I was, you know, 7 years in advance here.
Right.
Buffy. And there are other ice skaters I would have sort of like, I loved Katarina Witt. And well, Mark Hamill. I was young enough for Mark Hamill, but I wouldn't have wanted his haircut.
I did have a Dorothy Hamill haircut.
Wow. You need to have a lot of hair.
Ever was.
I don't really think that Buffy could pull off a Dorothy Hamill haircut. You kind of need a lot of hair for a Dorothy Hamill haircut.
You do. You do.
And Buffy's hair is lovely, but it's not Dorothy Hamill hair. Nor would mine have been.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think you could pull off. Now, was yours kind of curly though? Did you have a curly Dorothy Hamill cut?
No, it was actually, it looked fairly straight because it's pretty dang short.
Okay.
But I let it grow out. I, as you know, I've never had it cut really short, even since you've known me. Right now, it's the shortest it's been. I just got it cut yesterday. It's just like right at my shoulders.
Oh, wow. That is short for you.
Yeah, that is short for me. So anyhow, people probably don't really care about my hair.
Oh, that's right. Dang it. We got to move on. This is a long, we got a long row to go here.
But we get to what I call the clearly pre-FERPA days of school.
No doubt. Just your name and your test result.
Yes.
In alphabetical order.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, we have Cordelia as personal shopper or motivational speaker. Xander is prison guard, Buffy in law enforcement, and Willow was not on the list.
Which freaks her out.
Yes.
Which is quite humorous.
I thought she was going to get recruited for like the CIA or the FBI or something like that. I didn't think it was just going to be a software company coming to poach people, kind of this Microsoft-esque kind of situation.
Yeah, it's definitely a reference to Microsoft. I really wish those guys would have had black suits on.
Yeah.
So they would have, it would have really kind of thrown it, right? Oh my gosh, what is she going to get recruited for? Because we've seen kind of the CIA.
Yes.
In the series already.
Yes.
So it would have been really funny if those guys would have been in black suits.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I don't know. I think maybe my favorite thing from the school scenes that we're in right now is when she's in the library with Giles.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm indexing the Watcher Diaries. And he says, you'd be amazed at how numbingly pompous and long-winded some of these Watchers were. Buffy's like, color me stunned.
Uh-huh. Nice. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. And I did wonder, what constitutes everyday vamp hijinks? Because Buffy makes a comment about it.
Yeah. I don't know. But they're not usually stealing stuff other than blood.
From the Bloodmobile. Vampire meals on
the unmarked brown van. Bloodmobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is where we find out about the Order of Taraka, right? Is this when Giles finds out who they are? Or no. Does he know it? No, because he doesn't know that Spike has hired them yet.
No, but I do have the note. I think it might have been Spike talking about it. The Order of Taraka, the bounty hunters he's going to send to get Buffy.
Yes.
And so I was excited to find out what this Order of Taraka was going to be.
I was just wondering if it was like a real word or something they just made up. And it is a real thing. Taraka, not this Order of Assassins, but... and because I was going to ask you, one of the things I found it referencing was in Hinduism. And evidently there's a Taraka mantra that people often say upon as they're reaching their death.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not familiar.
Yeah. And Taraka is the name of the god Brihaspati, which I'm probably saying wrong. So I apologize. But they also mentioned something about Taraka yoga. Have you ever heard of Taraka yoga?
I have not, but I must confess there are a lot of different types of yoga, but I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, and it's a municipality in the Philippines, and it's also a place in Papua New Guinea, and it's a genus of butterflies.
Holy cow.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But of course, the most exciting thing is that Willow meets Oz.
They're the two getting recruited by Microsoft.
Yay! Although do we find out he's very corporate averse and just tests well on standardized tests.
Yes, which is interesting because it really didn't seem, this seemed more like an interest survey than a standardized test. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, do you like scrubs? Do you rather work with people or computers? You know,
right.
This seemed more like interests than abilities.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how their answers revealed some of this. I would have thought some sort of logic and reason, you know, a kind of a more, I don't know, intelligence-based test might have resulted in the Microsoft query.
Right. Yeah. And if they've been following her, this is definitely pre-FERPA.
No doubt.
FERPA, for those who don't know, is a federal law ensuring student privacy for things like their grades and so forth.
Totally not being followed here. And I'm sure probably predates FERPA.
Yes.
You know, why does Giles take Buffy out of school to go check out this mausoleum? I mean, come on. Wait until 3 p.m.
Yeah, he knows that Snyder will be all over her for that.
I'm really ticked off about it. I just didn't think this necessitated leaving school.
Yeah. I have some concerns about Giles in these two episodes, especially in episode 10, but I can wait to get to that.
Okay. He might be struggling with the loss of Carpenter, who was noticeably Calendar, who was noticeably absent in these two episodes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Did you look up Josephus Duloc?
Yes.
Good, because I didn't. So what'd you learn?
That it's just a Buffyverse thing.
Okay. Okay.
There's no real Duloc. I was like, man.
So then we have Taraka's goons beginning to arrive. I just love that this first guy just got off the bus from LA. He just, you know, he's got a weird eye and he's huge and he's just traveling by bus. His last gig was in LA.
Yeah, evidently he couldn't pass the driver's test and get a
license. There you go.
So he has to rely on public transportation.
And apparently he doesn't materialize and dematerialize in bug form and could just slink around or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then I did love the misdirect, thought for sure that Kendra was the third Taraka.
Yep. Yep.
Badass really coming out misdirect. Of the cargo hold. And we find out she's traveling in the cargo hold to keep the vampire slayer secrecy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that misdirect. It's great.
Yeah, I did not catch on until I loved the end of the episode when she said she was the vampire slayer. I mean, I just thought, oh, this is great. So I really enjoyed that.
Yes. And man, I don't know. I'd kill for that complexion.
Oh, beautiful.
Her skin is
flawless.
Amazing. Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things, I'm kind of off the order of Taraka here now.
Sure.
And we're back in the library where Xander is being a normal dumbass.
Yes.
But did you notice the source that Giles was looking up information in?
No.
I should have made this my trivia.
Yeah.
It's freaking National Geographic.
Oh, shit.
I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with National Geographic.
They've but
great
for the
articles
occult?
And so forth. I just wouldn't have thought if you're looking up stuff about the occult and so forth that
exactly.
that would be a go-to.
Exactly. No, agreed.
Maybe
agreed.
The Time Life series on the occult, perhaps.
Yeah. And in fact, maybe me chuckling at that is really a testament to National Geographic. Factual and based in easily observable reality.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So.
Well, my next note isn't until we have the real ice skating montage. So if you have anything before the ice skating montage.
No. And I hated the music.
Oh, my gosh. And sorry. I think the lesson learned here is Sarah Michelle Gellar actually can ice skate.
Yes. I guess she is a big skating fan. In real
so
life.
I think they utilized this here. I think this was the whole deal. Oh, great. Well, we'll have the date at the ice rink then, and we can do a whole montage. Well, they did.
They did.
I don't know that it's that easy to get into a closed skating rink, but and I'm really bummed we did not really get a chance to see Angel on ice. David Boreanaz may not have the same background.
When they, you know, after Buffy kills the Cyclops Taraka guy.
Yeah.
By slicing his neck with her skate, which was.
But it was bloodless.
Yes. Yeah. And they're like standing over him kissing. And I start singing, "Isn't it romantic?"
And, you know, I'm sorry. She didn't notice he had vamp face.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. I not. Because his teeth are all jacked up, too.
Right. And he's got the weird lisp that he has when he's got his vamp teeth in.
Yeah. No, I wasn't buying it.
Yeah. No, I wasn't.
And then, so at this point, I call Kendra Queen Taraka. That was my name for her. Until we found out her name, well, maybe even after we found out it was Kendra, but not until we found out she was another vampire slayer. So when I say Queen Taraka, I'm talking about Kendra.
Okay, got it. Yeah, what's the next thing you have after that?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Giles knew about the Taraka assassins and that they dated back to King Solomon. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and actually, where is it? It might be the next episode when they mention, let me find it here. Spike invokes Elagor?
Yes, I remember that.
That's actually in this grimoire called the Ars Goetia, Goetia, sometimes called the Key of Solomon. I was wondering if these were supposed to somehow be linked a little bit, but I don't, but maybe I might be stretching it there.
Oh, that's cool though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a book of, it's just kind of like a book of demons, right? Listing all these different demons.
Right.
So I guess a dark grimoire. Boy, and Giles is just having none of Xander's BS.
No. Yeah, quit with the quip, Xander, was pretty much what he said.
Yes. Yeah. And I have written down the order of bad pennies keep turning up until the job is done.
Oh, nice.
Instead of the order of Taraka.
Nice. Yes. Nice. So funny. Nice metaphor there.
I did think it was kind of ironic, right, that they have the bug guy selling beauty products.
Yes. Yeah, so very interesting bug guy. There were elements of this that I was like, oh wow, that special effect was pretty good, and then other times you were like, oh god, that did not go well. Yeah. But I actually thought the hand kind of materializing was pretty effective.
Oh, I was just, it's so funny because I was just thinking that was the bad one.
The hokey. Okay. I'm thinking of like there was one time when one of the bugs goes across his cheek and into his ear. Yeah. I thought that one was terrible.
Yeah.
But I thought the hand one was okay. But I was giving it credence for its time, I suppose. I'll be real quick about this, but I couldn't help but think of the Good Omens episode with the maggots.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Oh, both kind of grossed me out. But yes, he's made of maggots. And so previously Giles had said some human, some not human. I said, oh, here's the geeky Taraka. And then I was with maggots in a rotting corpse. And then I said, oh my gosh, he's made of maggots. Gross. And then I put next to it, this one is not human.
Yeah, he's pretty disgusting. I do not like worms at all.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
So Buffy's on the run from the Tarakas,
mm-hmm.
and her mom's just out of town, you know,
conveniently. Yeah, she's really freaking out.
Yeah, she's really worried about this order of bad pennies.
Yes, and you know when Oz comes walking up behind her at school and she slams him into the wall.
Yeah,
he's like,
"This intense person."
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, yeah. Seth Green looks really good in this episode.
I really like Oz. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to more of him. Glad mm-hmm. to see him again. Another reason to like these episodes and mm-hmm. just look forward to seeing more.
Yeah. I wondered what was with the oversized flannel that Buffy suddenly starts wearing.
Like, is this her disguise? Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
It just Agreed. Came out of nowhere. She didn't go home. Maybe she just had it in her locker at school or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because we have seen that so often, and it's so characteristically Buffy.
Yes.
So my next note is Xander's line.
No, it's a statistical impossibility for a 16-year-old girl to unplug her phone.
Yeah, and Willow just nods like, mm-hmm.
Totally validates it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Really didn't seem like Buffy should be alone right now. It just, this is not good. But she ends up at Angel's creepy place in Angel's, like, monastery cell bed.
In the back of a museum.
In the back of a museum. Yeah.
Not really people, if you've never seen this. We're being facetious. It's just, just looks like that.
Feels like it, yeah.
You know, and it looks like he's been sleeping, but I didn't think vampires had to sleep.
It's weird.
But, I mean, we also see kind of Drew is sleeping because she talks about dreaming and stuff later.
That's right. She even talks about dreaming.
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, when Buffy crawls into Angel's bed, I was like, girl, if you wore your damn shoes in my bed, you would have words.
Yeah, I don't even wear my shoes farther than my front door.
Yeah, you and me
I
both.
I mean, just inside my front door.
It just, that's gross.
Not in my bed. Yeah, my bed.
That's gross. I mean, when you think about all the stuff that can be on the bottom of your shoes and then it's in your bed.
Easily.
Grody.
Stop talking.
Yeah. 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 So.
So what have you got next?
Well, then I got Willie's bar.
Yeah. I said, this barkeep seems a bit afraid of Angel. I called him barkeep. I know his name's Willie, but I liked barkeep better.
Willie.
You know, I like to give some of them nicknames, as you know.
Yes. Quite all right. I did have a trivia question from the bar.
Oh, boy.
Can you name two of the states that are on the license plates on the wall?
Oh, I thought about, like, no, I can't.
Well, I couldn't read
guess,
them all.
I will guess California and New York.
No, neither. Okay. Well, it could have been. I didn't see those. The
right,
ones I could read were Utah, Illinois, Connecticut, Colorado, and British Columbia. Oh, no, and Iowa and Texas.
Oh, my gosh. I do remember seeing the license plate, but obviously I did not write it down.
Yeah, most of the time they were super blurry. It took a lot for me to kind of to figure it out. And I noticed the bar. I don't know if you noticed this before. I think it was in the last episode when they're at Buffy's locker and on the locker next to her, there's an N-Train sticker.
Mm.
It looks like a little sunbursty kind of thing with the word N-Train. And it was down at the bar as well.
Oh,
and evidently that's like a ska band.
Oh my gosh.
So I keep meaning to go to YouTube to see if they have any of their music, because I'd
That's
never
good
heard
catch.
Them. And I had a wee ska phase when I was in grad school. It didn't last very long, but it's just fun.
Yes.
Music. If you're really down, go listen to some ska.
Did you ever listen to the Mighty Mighty Bosstones?
Yes, I did.
I saw them once in concert in grad school.
Oh, wow.
School. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. A friend of mine from grad school took me to see, I think the band was out of like Indiana or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she had seen them several times. She's like, come and see this with me. And I really enjoyed it. It was quite fun.
Nice.
But anyway,
it's a good concert. I mean, it is a fun concert.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
So do you think pig's blood's going to do the trick? Do you think pig's blood is enough for vampires to sustain on?
Well, I mean, thinking about all of the vampire lore that I've heard, they can exist fairly well on animal blood, but it's just not as tasty as human blood.
Got it. Got it.
So just like, you know, you can exist on protein shakes, but it's just not as satisfying as, you know,
real food.
Real food.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Just curious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Queen Taraka shows up after Angel. I said that I like Queen Taraka a lot, and she's got a Caribbean accent. So I was still totally thinking she was Taraka.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading about, again, this episode, and I guess they decided maybe the day before or a couple days before they started shooting that they wanted her to have a Jamaican accent. And so that's why it's not a great Jamaican accent, because they really didn't give her time to study it, even though they gave her a coach. I mean, really, I don't think you can nail an accent in 48 hours.
No, that's not very fair. I don't know the accent well enough to be like, oh my gosh, she was awful.
Uh-huh.
But it felt a little like stereotyped, I guess.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes.
But I wasn't. Now, and again, somebody who really is familiar with those accents are probably like, it was god awful. But
yeah,
I wasn't bothered by it.
I do like how she says her name.
I'm Kendra, the vampire slayer.
Kendra.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did have a note down here, or a question. It's not necessarily one that you can answer. It was, does every public place in Sunnydale have
that.
A cage?
I can live in the unknown.
So my question is, does every public place in Sunnydale have a cage?
I have everybody has cages these days. I same thing. I was like, are you kidding me? If it's a cage to like store stuff in, I'm sure it's not very hard to bust, you know?
Yeah.
So these have to be strong cages for strong vampires to not be able to bust out of. So I'm like, what is up with Sunnydale and all these jails everywhere?
And that lock she puts on it. I'm like, come on. At least use a master lock.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a stretch to think we're going to accept that Angel cannot break out of there.
Yeah.
When we just saw Philip break out of the library cage and he was a freaking zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. And come on, everybody knows library cages are stronger than bar cages. Just joking. I have no idea.
And quite different from the bar cages you would expect to see.
Yes. Whole different kettle of fish.
Whole different. That's a whole different podcast, folks.
Oh my gosh. It cracked me up that Giles was like, have Cordelia give you a ride. And Cordelia's totally giving him a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprise, surprise. But necessary to advance the plot.
Yes.
This is a trivia question I should have asked you.
Oh, okay.
Because it's pertinent to something from a previous episode.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, Willow falls asleep on her computer keyboard.
Yes.
What does she say when Giles wakes her up?
Okay. I'm going to go a roundabout way with this.
Okay.
What I've written down is Willow is afraid of frogs.
Yes.
So it is something like, don't wake the tadpoles, or it's something about tadpoles.
Yeah, it's like, don't warn the tadpoles. So,
okay.
And I was doing that to get you up to the thing about the frog.
Yes.
But since you've already remembered that, do you remember Inca Mummy Girl episode?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
And Willow and Buffy are talking in the library.
Okay.
And Willow, and this is that scene where she's talking about how she's thinking about, you know, just moving on. And Buffy's like, that's a great idea.
Yes.
Do you remember? Do you remember this?
Yes.
She was playing around with the stuffed frog.
Oh, yes, I do. I think you even made note of that stuffed frog.
I did. And it was specifically because of this episode where she says she has frog fear.
Interesting.
So maybe fiddling around with the stuffed frog was her way of trying to break her fear of this amphibian.
Yeah, I suppose. But like, I don't really love spiders, but I'm not going to have a stuffed animal of a spider to try to help me with that.
True.
So it's an interesting, I mean, well, I'm not afraid of frogs. So of course, I'm going to say frogs are cuter. Somebody who is afraid of frogs but isn't afraid of spiders might say a spider stuffed animal would be cuter.
Yeah. Yeah. No to the spiders.
No to the spiders.
Yes.
So,
and then we find out that Giles has finally figured out that the Vamps are trying to restore Drusilla's strength.
Yes. Very and interesting.
We zoom to Spikella's lair. Drykes? What did we decide on?
I think Spikella's better.
Okay.
Let's go with Spikella.
Spikella's lair. And they have decoded the ritual. Because they got the key now.
Yep.
The cross. And they figure out that Angel is the key to the whole cure. Because he's Drusilla's sire.
Totally.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it makes me wonder, you know, is Angel going to be kind of drained now? And we know that his sire was, oh, shoot, what was her name?
Darla.
And Darla's gone. Darla's gone, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd be SOL.
Yeah, so TBD on Angel's wellness after this draining event.
Yep. And so, you know, the next scene is with Xander and Cordelia.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like to just talk about the whole Xander and Cordelia thing right now.
Okay.
Instead of doing it scene by scene. Let's just
great.
Pull it all together right now from both episodes.
Okay, that's a great idea.
I did think, well, there's a couple things I noted right away. Number one, this is the first actual reference to the Scooby Gang.
Loved it.
And also that, once again, many of the lines that Xander utters throughout the series do not age well at all. And this is one of them, right? When Cordelia's like, what am I, mass transportation? And he says something to the effect of, that's what the guys say, but it's just locker room talk. It just doesn't age very well.
No. No.
And it's, you know, when Cordelia goes after Xander, it's usually about intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And when Xander goes after Cordelia, it almost always has to do with her sexuality. That kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Other than that, I love the interaction between those two, because it's so snarky and they're very quick together and they got a good chemistry.
Yes. Yes. I loved the kisses. I loved the kisses. I loved the first one. I loved the second one. I saw them coming from a mile away.
Yep.
And I loved how the music swelled. I mean, it was campy and fun and just perfect.
Man, it was so hard to keep my mouth shut in earlier episodes when you were like, I predict. I wanted to go, yeah.
And we'll see what happens from here. But, okay, a kiss can happen once and be like, oh, we really screwed up. We will never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's happened twice, I feel like this is going to happen again.
Ooh, yes.
So,
yeah, I really like the kiss. And, well, I mean, the kiss in the basement's great, right? But I really like the one in the it looks like it's in the home ec room at school.
Yeah. Yes.
They're arguing again and they're like, and that music pops up again. I'm like, that's great. Love it.
Yeah. Perfect.
And and they're sniping at each other in the library again, you know, after they escape from the worm man.
Yep.
And they're on the library. And did you notice Willow's look as they're sniping at each other?
Oh, no.
She has this really kind of satisfied little smirk on her face.
Interesting.
Like, they're just sniping at each other. And I think that shows her innocence, right? Because anybody else is like, yeah, there's a whole lot of sexual tension going on between those two.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, I'm glad they finally are kind of doing something with the that tension between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Loved it.
Good. Other stuff you want to say about them?
Actually, not too much. Okay. I mean, I liked that they were teamed up to dispatch the bugs with the adhesive. And even though Cordelia said she didn't do bugs, she was using the broom while Xander was using the tape. So, you know, they kind of, in a weird way, made a good team.
Yes. Yes, they do.
But that's all I need to say about it.
Okay. All right.
So Buffy has her delightful sleep in Angel's bed. And the last time I can say it, Queen Taraka shows up. And no sooner have I said Queen Taraka that we find out she's Kendra the Vampire Slayer. What?
Yep. Were you surprised?
I was totally surprised. I was sure she was coming to as the Taraka that was going to kill Buffy. I was just, I did not until she said. Now, I did believe her when she said it. And so knew that she was not Queen Taraka. But before that, nope. And so then I was like, if she's not the third Taraka, then who is? Loved, I mean, just loved where we were left here. I just thought that was such a great reveal. And I am so glad we're doing both these episodes together because I would have hated to stop here.
Well, it just, I don't know. To me, it makes sense to talk about them together.
Yeah, 100%.
So did you quickly figure out, though, why Kendra was a Slayer?
You know what? I don't know that I don't think it even troubled me. I think I know there can be only one, but I was like, maybe it's one per continent. You know, I was just like, she's taking care of stuff in the Caribbean. You know, I didn't really come up with the discrepancy until that was like the one, you know, yeah, that's right. There can be only one. And it does make sense. I mean, she did die.
Just a little.
But when I got to that point, I was like, this has never happened to a Slayer before. Come on. There's got to be times when a Slayer, you know, kind of died for a minute that was brought back or something. I don't know. I thought that given the riskiness of the job,
right,
I thought that maybe this could have happened before.
Well, I think that, I mean, if you think about the difference in how Kendra looks at being the Slayer and how Buffy looks at being the Slayer, I don't really question that it hasn't happened before. Because Kendra's like, you know, no friends, no family, all she's got is her watcher, and she works in secret. And so if that's how it's been, then probably, I mean, a vamp's not going to stop and try to resurrect the Slayer. So they probably did die kind of alone and with nobody around.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, but I have additional problems here.
Okay.
Because it seems like even though Kendra only recently, like what, a year, became the Slayer, it seems as if she's been like training for it for much longer.
Yeah, I did note that too. She said, you know, her parents sent her to her watcher very early. And I thought, well, how did her parents realize she was a potential slayer? Where Joyce and Daddy Summers, Hank, it took me a second there to remember his name, didn't, right?
Yeah. No, so, and Giles, and it feels like Giles totally fell down on the job because it seems like Buffy was a slayer before Giles was even around. So she had this time, she was killing vampires at her old high school,
right,
without any watcher guidance at all. So
she did
Giles
have a watch.
Is,
she did.
Oh.
She does have a watcher in the movie, which is set in LA.
Oh, does the watcher get killed?
I'm trying to remember.
Okay.
What happens to her watcher? So she gets, and it's played by Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
And I have to tell you, I don't remember what happens to him. I don't think he's necessarily as good of a guy as Giles is.
Okay.
So perhaps something bad happens to him in the movie. I can't remember for sure.
Okay, well, this is helpful because I'm like, Giles, you're saying that you had to throw out the handbook with her, but you weren't even there. You know,
right.
Like Buffy's all weird and everything, or just sort of an exceptionally different. And it was just like, well, yeah, because you showed up so late in the game. But I guess if he was taking over for another watcher and maybe the other watcher wasn't doing things by the book, I don't know. But it just was, yeah, the two of their sort of experience becoming slayers and their relationships to their watchers and everything else just was very different. And it kind of made me wonder if Kendra, I mean, Buffy could live a really long time or not very long.
Right.
And if you need to be trained since childhood, it seems like maybe there would be multiple in trainings to be called upon, you know,
right,
when somebody died. Because, I mean, yeah, you could have three die in a month.
Right, right.
And then you could go 20 years without having any die. So I don't know.
I don't think many slayers lived long once they were called and became the slayer.
Right. So that then there needs to be lots of Kendras.
Yeah.
But, you know, before she was called up to be the slayer.
Yeah. So here's something on Wikipedia about the movie.
Okay.
So Merrick is her first watcher. And it says he is killed.
Okay.
And then as Merrick dies, he tells Buffy to do things her own way rather than live by the rules of others.
Okay. So this episode's a real nod to the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some stuff in there that relates back to that.
Wish I could see that movie.
Well, I think you probably can.
Have to find it.
It's got
to
be somewhere. What was I going to say? Oh, you're kind of alluding to some of the things that also that I didn't particularly like about the episode, because Giles, with all these comments he's making, like, oh, I didn't think the Slayer Handbook would do any good for Buffy, or, you know, I realized I would have to do this once I met you, and yada, yada, yada. It's really kind of slamming her.
I agree.
And I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all. I didn't either. I didn't either. I mean, to not even let her know there was a handbook, right?
Right.
I mean, let her know there's a handbook.
Right, right.
Oh, I didn't think it'd do any good. Well, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you figured all that out upon the first meeting with her in the library?
I mean, at least say something like, she was already trained before I came on the scene.
Right.
You know, I'm a replacement.
Right.
I've been getting to know her as well. You know, something
right.
like that, instead of just, well, she was a hopeless case.
Yeah. Yeah. Not very cool.
He could have done it differently. Yeah. I mean, I did also think that Buffy was a real jerk to Kendra for a while.
Oh, God.
As
yeah,
well
yeah, yeah.
in a completely yeah. unnecessary way,
right?
But both Giles and Buffy behaved badly. I thought Kendra behaved really well.
She behaved in a way that you would expect her to behave in the situation, right?
Absolutely.
Because we all have expectations of how we would behave when confronted with the two vampire slayers. So yeah. But I think it's also in Buffy's reactions to Kendra, she starts to come to more of an acceptance.
Yes.
Of her fate. And so I think that if Kendra hadn't come along, you know, Buffy's future would be very different.
Acceptance and maybe even a little bit of embracing.
Yes.
Because really, she's not trapped in it anymore.
Right.
So acceptance is you're stuck, so I'm just going to accept it. And this was, you have a way out, but I actually want this challenge.
Yes. Yep.
So I think a bit of both. Some acceptance and then embracing as well. So
yeah, I would agree with that.
So definitely, to your point, a maturity, a development, and a forwarding of Buffy's arc in a major way.
Yes. Yes. Acceptance of, and we could get into a long philosophical discussion about fate.
Right.
But perhaps not. Perhaps we shouldn't.
But this is, you know, not all the logic holds together completely perfectly. But now that Buffy has been replaced, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know exactly what Kendra's going to do. Maybe go kill some vampire. I mean, can't only have vampires in Sunnydale, right?
Right.
So maybe Kendra will have some other missions. But it seems now that Buffy is dead, right? Has been replaced. The next link isn't going to fire until Kendra dies.
Right.
I mean, the next time Buffy dies, I think doesn't matter.
Right, because Kendra replaced her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so Kendra, you know, Giles better have Kendra on speed dial for.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So we are officially in the second episode.
Yeah.
And we hear the bug guy's name, Norman Fister. And I just was like, I was just disgusted by his name as well.
Yeah, but it's great. It's a great name.
It's perfect, but yes. But our slayers call a truce to go and chat with Giles.
Mm-hmm. She has definitely had a different life than Buffy.
Very different.
And, you know, like when Willow comes in and she, you know, kind of rushes to confront her, and Buffy says, "Back off, Pink Ranger," which I found out that Buffy's stunt double was the stunt double for the Pink Ranger.
Oh my gosh. I'm not even familiar with the Pink Ranger. Who is the Pink Ranger?
From Power Rangers.
Oh, not something I ever got into.
I mean, I knew of them, and I think I watched a couple of episodes, but yeah, so it was a Power Ranger thing.
Okay. Okay.
But I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just kind of makes you wonder. And this guy, this Mark Field in that book I was telling you about, what did he say? Kendra is the slayer described by Spike in School Hard, right? A real loner, doesn't have any friends. Because remember, Spike's like,
yes,
you know, a slayer with friends and family. And this guy compares Kendra to the Order of Taraka. And so this is exactly what he says. So I think the Order of Taraka is a kind of perverted mirror of Kendra.
Interesting.
Yeah. So a loner fighter, because, you know, the
Order kill one and another church comes after you.
Yeah. 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 And they work alone until they get to that church part. But I thought that was really interesting. Super isolated. Devoted to the mission.
Yeah. And you know, it probably is a key to Buffy's success that she has this entourage.
Right. Right.
But it does put the entourage in a great deal of danger.
Yes.
right? I mean,
yes.
The Slayer probably dies more often, but there's probably less collateral damage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I would say that's got to be true.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Kendra definitely takes her studies very seriously.
Oh, goodness. The Order of Jamies? Was that it? Or the Books of Jamius or something like that? She and Giles are geeking out over.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The one that the one that Giles didn't get through because it was too dry. Yes. So we see that, I mean, this girl's got discipline.
Yeah. And I like...
Knows all about Angelus. It's like Buffy needs Giles for all these little factoids.
Mm-hmm.
Kendra's learned it all.
Right. Right.
But she's also had like 20 years to do it. I don't know. She's not 20. 10 years, whatever, since she could read.
Right. Yeah. Very different. It's.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just kind of wondering again why Kendra would have known so early.
Yeah.
And Buffy didn't.
Well, I do think I feel like Buffy had to have a kind of a different intake process or something. I just think, I mean, you can't just. Well, you definitely, the next Slayer can't be born as soon as the Slayer dies.
Right.
Because then you have this wait for maturity.
Right.
So what, does just an adolescent suddenly know she's the Slayer and her watcher shows up and she's got to fight vampires the next day?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really feels like there's got to be multiple trainees.
Right.
That get called upon at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm going to posit that there are multiple Kendras prior to Buffy's death.
Okay.
And that then one of them gets the nod or whatever. And I don't know how they, and maybe in Buffy's case, something went a little awry. And maybe it was the Watcher's fault.
Yeah,
maybe it was that Watcher's fault.
Could be. Could be.
I got to see the movie. That might answer a lot of these questions. Okay. But moving on, what do you have next? My next thing is with Willie saving Angel. So do you have some stuff before that?
Well, is he really saving Angel?
Right. Saving him to deliver him to Spike.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, and you know, you just have a major sewer pipe right below the bar with a trap door. I doubt it. The storeroom right by the bar jail.
Plot convenience.
Yeah.
By the bar jail. I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't really have too much about that scene. I didn't, nothing really, you know,
stuck delivered.
Out. Yeah. Plot convenience for all of that.
Spike is great.
Yeah. I did.
And then.
I laughed about the next scene, right? When Cordelia's talking to the worm guy before she knows he's a worm guy. And she's like, do you have any
She's really working this makeup guy.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it, but I'm both a winter and a summer. Do you remember that whole, it was a craze.
Oh, I do. And your colors were all based on what season you were.
Yep. The color me beautiful craze of the 80s. It's still around, though, I guess.
It is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It took me back because I had the book.
Nice.
And read all about it. I like.
What are you?
I want to say I was a winter.
That's what I was going to guess.
Yeah. What were you? Spring? Summer?
I think it's funny. I think I was either a spring or a summer. And I can't recall.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I was a winter.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a summer.
Oh, well.
But I was a winter.
Winter's got some cool colors.
Yeah, it did. It did. But, so they, Xander and Cordelia, figure out he's a bug guy because of the wormy things crawling across his face.
Mm-hmm.
And they lock themselves in Buffy's basement. I don't know why they didn't. Oh, that's because the bug guy materialized in front of the back door.
Yeah, they were.
Right. I was just going to say, I don't know why they didn't run out the back door. And then it suddenly popped into my head.
They were thwarted.
That's a great word, thwarted.
It is a good word. And then, you know, this Willie, I didn't like him before, but when he starts promoting naked modeling for underage girls, I was like, this also did not age well.
No, he is.
And I don't think I would have appreciated it then either.
No, he's skeezy.
So skeezy.
Smarmy and skeezy.
So going from one kind of smarmy, skeezy thing to another. This whole Drew Angel Spike dynamic is creepy deepy because it sounds like Angel's saying, I was able to satisfy Drew better than you ever would. And it was all sorts of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
Which I've never actually read, but I think.
I have.
Okay, so maybe you can decide if it's appropriate or not.
Oh, it definitely has those feelings, and that's why I mentioned earlier, you know, this scene right now is the one that has, it's not even subtle sexual undertones. No. It's just there in your face to slap you.
100%, and it even seemed like Angel was enjoying a little bit of the torture. Not too much of it, but a bit of it.
But he is a vampire after all. Uh-huh. Yes, yes. I could have done without Drusilla's line of,
you've been a very bad daddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, also gross, right? We don't want the...
Yeah. I would turn and run away if a guy asked me to call him daddy.
Like, no,
goodbye. Lose my number.
Yeah, no, not good. Not good.
That's just gross. But yeah, I did appreciate how Angel almost goaded Spike into staking him.
Yeah.
So close. So close.
Then we never would have had the show Angel.
Yeah. That is for sure. That is for sure.
The next thing I have is sort of this whole Kendra not being impressed with Buffy's training.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy's jealous. And I'm like, let her replace you. You're not happy about it anyway. Just let her take the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I just liked how the introduction of Kendra just really makes Buffy rethink everything.
Yes. Yes. No, it is. It is significant. It her evolution through this is significant. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do have one thing about the Xander Cordelia thing.
Okay.
When she's getting the bugs off her.
Oh.
And Xander's just having a little too much fun with that hose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, okay. We can go.
Not a wet t-shirt contest, Xander.
But in this case, it made me chuckle. Because at first it was really valuable, but then it's just like, he's really trying to get a good soak on. Okay. Well, then the next thing I have is, aha, here's the third Taraka. And, you know, I meant to go back to the cards for the three Tarakas because I kind of think one of them had a worm on it.
Yeah, there was a Cyclops, the one with the worm. And I think it was either Jaguar or Tiger.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I'm remembering that now. Well, I don't know how our redhead relates to a jaguar or a tiger, but...
Well, I think it's the red.
Her
red color, and also their hunters.
Was the jaguar red in the picture?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was a reddish-orange color with, you know, black. The black part made me vacillate between, is it a tiger or is it a jaguar?
Okay, okay.
But I think with the Taraka woman that had her reddish orange hair and is a hunter.
Okay.
Is what the connection is there.
Okay. That helps. But yeah, she just whips that gun out. Roll call. I'll just call the only person I care about. There she is. Gonna shoot her.
Yeah. And finally, we see people reacting properly.
Yeah.
Screaming and running and ducking. Mostly, except the people who are over by Willow and Oz are all just kind of standing there.
Yeah, just shocked.
And
poor Oz gets shot, but it's only a scrape.
Yes. Saves Willow.
Now, when Xander sees Kendra, clearly it's another mm-hmm. woman and he's into her. Mm-hmm. But did you feel like Kendra might be a little into Xander as well? Or well, she was maybe just tongue-tied because she doesn't get to talk to people.
I think she was just tongue-tied because she's never had a chance to talk to a teenage boy.
Okay. I think that's more likely.
Yeah. I don't think she was necessarily into Xander.
Okay.
So that's my take on it.
Okay. I hear it.
I don't know. I don't like the direction they gave her in that particular scene.
Mm.
It was just a little overdone for me.
Okay.
I put it on the director.
Okay. Okay. The little fight over Angel.
But our priority is to stop Drusilla.
Angel's our friend. Except I don't like him.
I don't like him. I did like how Nicholas Brendan delivered that one.
Loved it. I thought that was a very good line. Obviously,
Angel's our friend. Except I don't like him.
Except I don't like him. I did write down that Kendra has pretty amazing expressions, so.
Yes. Yeah. I guess she, Bianca Lawson actually auditioned for Buffy.
Oh. Well.
She might have been in that book, that blog, that book I was reading.
I think she could have done a good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. But she didn't fit, I think, Whedon's mental picture of Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, and I did like Xander's line.
Who sponsored career day today? The British Soccer Fan Association?
I wonder if that's around the time when that really famous incident occurred
with all the trampling.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah,
I bet that is the right time frame.
Yeah, I don't know. Since I don't follow soccer.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure. The next thing I have something written down about is when they're back at Willie's trying to get information mm-hmm. from him. And Kendra's like, just hit him, Buffy.
Yeah.
And so forth. And I guess, and again, I got this from the book. I did not watch the DVD commentary. But I guess mm-hmm. Marty Noxon, who's the writer for this episode, said that was staged for Willie's benefit.
Huh.
And that whole scene was to make Willie believe so that he could make Spike believe that Buffy would be at the church alone.
Huh.
And I was like, well, that
I
was
missed
the, yeah,
that.
I think everybody missed that. I mean, I did wonder, you know, when Buffy is pulled into the sanctuary of the church, Kendra shows up pretty quickly. I do remember thinking, every time I see this episode, I'm like, man, Kendra shows up so fast. How did she have time to go back to the school? Get Giles. And it never occurred to me that they staged everything
mm-hmm.
so that Kendra would then be a big surprise for Spike.
Frankly, the others get there pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, I mean, they must have been like outside the bar waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that was all part of the plan.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, they could have given us some more breadcrumbs for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would, if anybody told me they got that from that scene, I would be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. But, you know, Angel, I mean, Buffy does have a weak spot with Angel, right? I mean, she could be. That's why it wasn't like, well, this is unbelievable. They must be plotting this. It's like, yeah, this is totally believable. She really does have a blind spot where he's concerned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A 16-year-old girl
mm-hmm.
with her first real love.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't count her fifth grade crush on Billy Boredom.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm behind.
Oh. So what do you have after, or do you have anything in between? The stuff you're talking about, what I just talked about?
No, okay. Nothing at all significant. I get to Angel really, I just, we talked about this already, but Angel really did do a number on Drusilla. I mean, just killed everybody. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's terrible. Yeah. He really did. If asked, he really should give her a little of his life force, because I mean, he kind of owes her. So, yeah. And this Willie just delivers folks right and left. I mean, nobody's going to trust this guy ever again.
Willie the snitch.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Kendra makes quite the entrance.
Yes.
I wonder if that was really her or if it was a stunt double.
Yeah.
It had to be her.
I mean, she seems quite fit. She seems to do a lot.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know, when Angel and Drusilla were sort of attached by the uh-huh. cross and she uh-huh. they were both kind of passed out.
Uh-huh.
Drusilla has amazing back flexibility.
Oh, yes, she does.
That was an impressive back bend. And she looked quite at ease in it, which yes. was all the more impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
My back didn't go that way when I was 5 years old, let alone now.
I know. As a person with lower back problems, I watched that and I'm like, yikes.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
That would throw me out of commission for months.
Oh, jeez. And this redhead is a real Inspector Gadget. She whips out some knives in her wrists or something.
Yeah. Patrice, I think, is her name.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah. My notes here are like, Buffy and Patrice fight, Kendra and Spike fight, Giles and Willow mm-hmm. fight a vamp, Xander and Cordelia fight worm guy.
Yeah. Okay. I think we've got this.
That's my notes.
And then my notes are, no time for kissy kissy, the place is burning down for Buffy and Angel. And then are Spike and Drew dunzo? And the answer to that is no.
No. We see at the end Drusilla carrying Spike out of
That was amazing. I think I'm really gonna start to like Drusilla now. I think now that she's now strong and crazy, I'm gonna mm-hmm. like her better than weak and crazy. But we'll see. But we can't miss out on Willow and Oz's deep dive on animal crackers.
You know, after Oz says, "You have the sweetest smile I've ever seen."
Yeah.
Everything's improv'd.
You have the sweetest smile I've ever seen. So I'm wondering, do the other cookie animals feel sort of ripped, like it's the hippo going, "Hey man, where are my pants? I have my hippo dignity." And you know, the monkey's just, "I mock you with my monkey pants." And then there's a big coup in the zoo.
The monkey is French?
All monkeys are French, you know that?
No.
Oh, the whole animal cracker thing then.
Yep.
Well, I liked it. I thought it was cute. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize the monkey was the only one with pants.
I didn't either. It makes me, I want to know if that's true.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, I need to get some animal crackers. I haven't had animal crackers since I was a child.
Yeah, I loved animal crackers.
But I think you can get boxes of them. And not just like the little circus box you used to get when you were little.
I like the little circus box.
Yeah, they're cute, but I don't know if those are available in the grocery store.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somewhere near the Nilla wafers.
Oh, God, I love Nilla wafers with a glass of cold milk.
There you go.
All right, so let's get back to it.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. We're getting close here. That's right. I said, I think they're going to kiss again. And yep, they just can't help themselves with Xander and Cordelia.
In the home ec room. Yeah. With the door wide open.
Door wide open. They just cannot help themselves.
And you know, peeps saw them. Somebody had to see them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Cordelia's rep is ruined.
Too true. That conversation between Kendra and Buffy.
Yes. I think Kendra is appreciating some of the creature comforts that Buffy has carved out for herself. Yes. And I agree that Kendra should be able to have a seat on the plane instead of being in the cargo holds.
Maybe not as cheap, but yeah. much more comfortable.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I hope we see Kendra again. I really loved what she added, and I liked as the dynamic developed between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, why isn't she sticking around? Aren't two Slayers, can't we take advantage of this situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Well,
I guess there's enough vampires in Jamaica.
I suppose.
So,
but it's no Hellmouth.
Maybe it is, and we just don't know it.
Well, fair. But yes, you already mentioned it, but I loved that Drusilla was carrying Spike. I just mm-hmm. think this is perfect. I'm looking forward to what's next.
Yeah, I believe the next episode. What is the next episode? It's so Ted.
Okay.
So
Ted is the next episode.
Ted is the next episode. And then we have, after that, an episode called Bad Eggs.
Okay.
So, anyhow. Yeah, but I like these two episodes.
Yes.
I would have ranked them higher than Rolling Stone did, just because I think they're important for the plot, right? Because
mm-hmm.
Buffy is coming to an acceptance of her role as the Slayer, or being the Slayer.
Yeah.
As Kendra says, it's who you are.
Yeah. I definitely would rank it higher than most of the season one episodes.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
So I am surprised there are as many season one episodes above it.
I think which one was I super surprised at that was ranked higher? Nightmares was ranked higher.
Oh, okay. Well, we had the whole Buffy and her dad thing.
Mm-hmm. But get this, The Pack.
Oh, no.
Is rated higher?
No. That one I will not accept.
Yeah. I was like, no flipping way is The Pack rated higher, even if you are looking at plot.
No.
Especially if you're looking at plot.
No.
That one was a big shocker. But anyways, we'll save all of that for a later episode.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. So I guess all we have left now is to say bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wallowing in the Shallows is created and produced by the both of us. Edited by Mo. The soundtrack for the Wallowing in the Shallows Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 2 Rewatch is Apache Rock Instrumental by Sound Atelier, available on Jamendo.com. You can send us feedback at witstvpod@gmail.com. That's witstvpod@gmail.com.
Subscribe.
And subscribe.
And subscribe.
Subscribe.
Hit that subscribe button.
Like and subscribe.